is a long time ago. Sunshine and rain.
Okay.
You remain the same. Sunshine, sunshine, through the sunshine and rain. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You remain the same. Sunshine, sunshine and rain. Yesterday and today, and forever, sunshine and rain. We like to work on that one. But that reminded me today of times where we would get up, we would load up the vehicle, Lord have mercy, and it would be raining outside. We would have to get everything in the vehicle. We'd have to make our way down Central High School, Central Avenue, amen. And we pull up in the parking lot. Somebody know what I'm talking about, amen. Over back around where the cafeteria was. Have I got a
written? Yeah.
Amen. It'd be raining. Knock on the door, Dr. Harris, the door be locked. They go try to find Mr. Good. Y'all remember Mr. Good, amen. He come open the door, amen. And we'd be hustling, getting the stuff in through the back, amen. But we were excited about what God was doing, amen. And that was some 20 years ago, amen. And thank God that we were able to load this stuff up and get it to the church, to the school, to the church at the time, amen. And get it in there, get it set up, amen. Before you know it, be time to take it back down. Amen. Take it back outside in the rain. Amen. And take it to my house and then load it back into my house. Amen.
Yeah.
I said, man, you crazy. I said, nah, I'm excited. Amen. Because, Sister Juanita, when I came in this morning, I didn't have to unload. Amen. I didn't have to pack up. Sister Renee, I pulled out the key. Didn't have to wait for Mr. Tuna. And we got a ring. When I came in, Lord, I have mercy. Amen. I didn't have to worry about it. Amen. And the lights was going to be on. And the lights came on. Come on now. And we got a ring. Amen. Came up, we handed this chair, and it was tall. Lord, I have mercy. There was plenty of parking and plenty of places to sit, amen. Somebody ought to give God some praise, amen. God brought us from a mighty long way to church. God has been good to us. Somebody sit down, he gave us, blessed us every step of the way. Even when we had to sit on plastic chairs. Somebody say, I thank God for the black. God of life. Have I got a witness? Amen. I thank God for the school building that was open. Have I got a witness? I thank God, amen, that you know. Come on now. We had a certain time we had to get in and get out. And God let us say every Sunday. God let us say every Sunday. He was always on time. Have I got a witness? And we used to sing the whole praise on the inside. Stirred up from the depths of my heart, because praise is what I do. Thank God. Thank God that welcomed us back then. Thank God that welcomed us today. Amen. We sing the same old songs. Yes, the same old songs. Psalm 24. Yeah, we sing the same old songs. Psalm 24. Amen. Earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein. He is founded upon the seas and established upon his love. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceit. He shall receive the blessings from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his knowledge. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Lift up your heads, look at your gates, and be lift up in everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up in everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. The Lord is in his holy temple.
Let us prepare for prayer. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set thy glory above the heavens?
Yeah.
O God, we come this morning with grateful hearts. We come, Father, thanking you because truly you've been mighty good unto us. We thank you because you brought us through this week. You brought us through the many experiences, through the trials and tribulations, through the pain and the suffering. Oh, God, you even brought us through the happiness and the joy that we experienced through your Holy Spirit. And so, Father God, we give you glory today because we know that you are God and you're God all by yourself. We thank you because of your darling son, Jesus, and the power of your Holy Spirit, your word, Father God. We rejoice in you today, Father, because this is the day that thou hast made, and our hearts rejoice, oh God. Father God, even though it might be raining and damp on the outside, but hallelujah, Jesus, the sun is shining inside, deep down inside our soul, oh God, because you have given us a hope, and that hope is in you, oh God. And we thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for being that living hope today. We thank you for being our joy and our peace today. We thank you for being our shelter today, oh God. Because, Father God, you are true to your word. And we thank you this morning for the power of your word. And, oh God, I pray through the mighty name of Jesus, that through the French word today, oh God, that someone will come to know you as Lord and Savior. I pray that you continue to bless your main servant, Pastor Gates, son. Continue to be his help and his strength today, oh God. Continue to look on First Lady Kate's son in a special manner. And then, oh God, I pray for the heart of God in its entirety. You know what we stand in need of today, Father. So I pray that you will grant it according to your will. And Father God, I pray that if you're seeing the thing in our hearts that are not pleasing today, oh God, that you would watch us and sanctify us, oh God. Clean us through your word, oh God. Sanctify us in your blood, oh God. And Father God, don't let the enemy hold nothing over our heads or in our hearts. That will stop us, Father God, from giving you the glory, you the honor, and you the praise today. For truly you've been mighty good unto us. And we know that we are your church, oh God. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against us, oh God. We're going to stand in your name, Lord Jesus. We're going to stand in your love, and we're going to stand in your truth, Lord Jesus. And Father, bless your name. You have established it in your name, Lord Jesus. And we're going to stand united, Father God. Fortified as one, hallelujah, Jesus. One in Christ, Lord Jesus. We're not going to divide, Lord Jesus. But we're going to stay in your name, united for your glory. Hallelujah, Father. And we're going to continue in the mighty name of Jesus to lift you up, Father. Because you said, if I be lifted up, that you would draw all men unto you. And so, Father God, I pray that you would be that blessed of us that go above your Holy Spirit, that you might draw all men unto you. And we give you glory, we give you honor, and we give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God.
Thank you,
Father. Yeah. Thank you. Amen. 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 Y'all know it's December, right? Y'all know we're getting close to Christmas. Song that we used to sing around Christmas time, amen. Called Silent Night. It's a beautiful song, amen. I just don't remember what number it was in the book, amen. But it talks about the night that Jesus was born, amen. It was 56. All is rain. Now, young virgin, mother and child, holy infant, so tender in my sleep in heavenly peace. Sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night. All is calm, all is bright, round your mother and child.
Child.
Christmas spirit. Amen. And know that when you sing the songs, often remember the loved ones that you said Christmas down through the years. Amen. Reflect back, man, when you was a little kid. Amen. And look for that special gift. Amen. Sometimes it would come, sometimes it wouldn't come. Amen. He was always glad to be able to spend time with family and friends. He used to go outside and see what the other kids got for Christmas. Amen. Everybody asked, what you get for Christmas? What you get for Christmas? Oh, amen. And he would always hear those songs, Silent Night, Jingle Bells. That old, what was it, Temptation song, amen. That guy hit that baritone. I remember that baritone he hit. I forget that guy, man. He hit that baritone. Yeah, that song. Folks were drinking eggnog with a little something in it.
Hello.
I got witness, amen. Y'all act like y'all know about the eggnog, amen. Mine had a little something in it, amen. Mine had a good cheese, amen. Had some good food, good family, good friends, amen. And just good at this time of year to remember that truly the reason for the season, amen. So as we go into the last month of the year of our Lord 2023, we're going to have to get just a moment, amen, about what Christmas is. Christmas. Remember down to me. I'm going to start over here with Dr. Lindsay.
Thank you, Lord. Christmas is a time that we spent with our family. We had a big family, but 11 children. And so we had good times. And I just thank God for the memories because some family members are gone, mom and dad, some sisters and brothers are gone. But I thank God for the memories, because the memories last forever. And so I love Christmas. I thank God for my son and grandson and daughter-in-law and other sisters and brothers and just the church family. I thank God for that. And I thank God for Jesus, because one time I was so focused on what I was going to get and so focused on trying to give people that I forgot about the true meaning. And now that I know the true meaning, when I give people something, I can give them myself. I can give them Jesus too. Give them that love that Jesus gave me. And so I'm so grateful this morning for Christmas and for celebration of Christmas.
Yeah.
And it has a special meaning.
Yeah.
Even the Christmas tree.
Yeah.
I love the Christmas tree. I love Christmas decorations.
Yeah.
Because I don't worship them, but they're just beautiful. It's a time of celebration. And with that said, I wish everybody a very blessed Christmas and that God will continue to just bless you mightily, spiritually, and everything that you need, physically, mentally, morally, whatever you stand in the need of, God will bless you if it's in his will.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
All right. Okay. Oh, good morning, everybody. Good morning. Christmas. Yeah. Christmas was always this. I know she's not the little woman. But you always had to come back to the young age. You always had to be good around Christmas. I know that. And then they always said that she wasn't going to get nothing.
That's right.
And you got it anyway.
Hey.
And then they try to hide it. They try to hide it. But thank God. Never had the one for anything. As my mother says, that Christmas.
That's right.
Always.
Amen.
So some of the same experiences Anthony had. So right about now, when I was younger, I would just be asking my mom every day, have I been good? 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 Just the excitement of Christmas as a youngin'. You get to make your list and everything and make the cookies and everything. My mother and them made sure I was in bed, you know, and scared me. And then if you sneak around them, the night is they're going to throw pepper in your eyes. So, you know, I never snuck around, but just a feeling, you know, as a kid.
Yeah.
And then when you get older, you understand the real reason for the season, the gift that you keep on giving. Amen.
Amen.
Just a time with family, especially man, like when you little, you know, you just run around with your older cousins and stuff like that. You just don't have no care in the world, you know, doing all the festivities and things of that nature. So those memories were, you know, great memories.
Great.
Amen. Memory things when you're going to never get back. Just hold on to them. Love on somebody. And let them know that the real reason for the season, you know, Jesus got up on the third day. And that's the best present we could ever have. Amen.
Amen.
So just during the holiday season, you know, just have a little fun.
Yeah, yeah.
We're not going to say don't drink no eggnog with the fountain in it. Just have, you know, just have time for family. Just be able to thank God for everything he's done for you.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Christmas to me is not so much getting gifts. So growing up for me, Christmas was like just another day to be thankful in my household. I was not a child of receiving many gifts, but I did learn to be thankful for the day and what the day really meant. So learning what the day really meant, getting Christmas presents wasn't really a big thing to me. Because I already had the greatest gift.
Yeah.
So I'm just thankful that God brought me from last December to this December. With all that's going on, I'm glad he is continuing to keep me and my family and my church family and my pastor and first lady.
Yeah.
And I just pray that everyone has a wonderful, wonderful holiday and be safe.
Amen. Thank you for your testimony this morning. I'm going back here about Christmas.
That's what I think about Christmas. I know my church, we always have some kind of program.
Yeah.
And you know, for the kids, we always got to make Christmas. Some brown bags, some apple, orange, and candy. Some nuts in it. So, yeah, so but I know we are, you know, my father always made sure that some candy, that's it. So I don't care when it was, but that was one of our Christmas. Together and going to church. I guess the kids have a play, something we did for people in that time. And then like Renee said, it was not about how many gifts we had, because if you got one gift, we're thankful for that. And was the love that was put in, you know, our mothers were able to foster a gift or something. So it was the love behind all of that. And I guess in my household, I had two brothers on the main show. That's why we share so much. And nobody tells people that you understand the country life, right? We were coming up being young. It was like 192 is sitting out there on the back porch.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, taking a bath. I got a tub. Yeah, he got a tub there. He got a tub there. So we never, you know, we was that type of person. And I told somebody, they thought it was so funny. Like, if we was at the kids were going around home, their mom and dad had to get for the work. Like, they didn't work out with no clothes on. They walked me up with gloves, and balls, and what else like that. So they didn't want to care. So it's like, you can't country. That's what country was. So it's like, but, you know, it's just enough that was brought in the household. And kids saw that love that the parents gave them. They felt that love that the parents gave them. Like I said, they might tell my mom and dad, might say, no, we don't have much, but everything, you know, we do put love in it. So that was the same thing for us. I'm so grateful that, you know, that they showed us what love truly was, what it meant to be. And you don't have to have everything.
the little things that mean a whole lot. Okay, so that's why I'm so grateful for that and thank you for the season. And I guess woman, my daughter was coming up to grandkids. That's one thing. She ain't no Santa Claus in the house. No Santa Claus. But sometimes I think that takes the fun out of your kids thing. But you know, I raised her. And she, you know, I raised her the way she's going to, you know, how she's going to raise her. So. But I'm just so thankful. You know, that.
First Lady, this boy.
Good morning, heart of God. Christmas for me, we just had fun. I woke up that morning. Got a gift. I'm like, this trustee Henderson said, we went to church. A lot of times when the church, we got dropped off at church. But we went to church, and they did have a church program. We had a Christmas program, and me and my sister, we were always in it. And then I never forget the name of the church. It was Ebenezer Baptist Church in Occoquan, Virginia, where we went to church down there. And the people were very nice to me and my sister. We got bags, but they also gave us gifts. And we were very appreciative. And I remember my mom, she would be cooking at home. And, you know, when they cooking at Christmas dinner, it smells, the house just smells so good. And you can tell that that day is special. You know, because it's out of the norm for all the food that you see that being prepared, that day is made special. But most of all, that day was special because you know that Jesus was in the midst of everything that was going on, and we had always been raised up about, you know, Jesus. It was all about him. It was not about really the Christmas tree. But I do like seeing all the lights at night when you're going down the roads and you see this house lit up, see that house lit up now, and it's just being appreciative of what the Lord has brought you through and what you have now. And like my son said, I told him, let's get Christmas every day. So when it came time for that time, what do I give you? I can give you my love. And yes, they did have a few gifts, but my children, our children were blessed that other people blessed them too. So they were always blessed. And now they're still blessed. You know, their grandparents told them when they were born, they were babies, they didn't know it. They touched them and they said, you are blessed. In the hospital, you are blessed. So they have been blessed from day one. And I thank the Lord for that. And I thank the Lord for all the people that have came into their life and poured positive blessings into them, to watch them bloom and grow to be a young man and a young woman today. And that's why I said I'm appreciative. I'm grateful. I'm grateful to God. I'm grateful to all the people that we have met throughout the years, those who are still here, those who have gone on. They left some type of message or something special they did for all of us in our hearts, and that's why we can remember them. And so I pray that everyone have a blessed holiday season with families and loved ones, and just think about all the good times you had, and you still can always think about that. And by thinking on that, that person or persons are still here with you because you hide the memories in your heart. Love you all. Have a blessed week. Send out air hugs and kisses.
First Lady, we're gonna. So we got someone on the phone line. See that? He's got a testimony about the goodness of the Lord and holiday season. We're gonna go to our first caller, last
Oh, this is 7611. Good morning.
Good morning. Praise the Lord. Give me another year to get the Father close to Christmas. We always had a beautiful Christmas every day, every year, every day. It's Christmas every day because the Lord touches every morning and open our eyes up and get another day to get go on and get me Father. And I'm so thankful that you wake up the next morning, you lay down in the church up and say, good morning, son. It's your day. Have a good day and Merry Christmas to you. Amen.
Man, thank you for your testimony this morning. Bring us our next caller. I'll ask for this 0025. Good morning.
Good morning, Pastor. Good morning, Heart of God. Truly, Christmas is the time of year for me as a child when I love putting the Christmas tree and the ornaments and all the lights on the tree and the decoration. It was a time that I spent with family and with friends. And Christmas time for me at this point in my life is a time that it's a bittersweet time for me. Even though it's a time of celebration and joy of the birth of Christ and the quality time that, you know, we get to spend with family and our loved ones. But I would be remiss if I did not say that there is an empty chair that will be at many of our tables, and there will be voices that we will miss during this time of year. And so this will be the first Christmas without my Aunt Pauline. So it's a bittersweet time for me. But even though it's a bittersweet time, God has brought me from a mighty long way, and He is a faithful God, and He has truly shown Himself mightily, not only in my life, but in all of our lives. And so great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God. And so I thank God this morning for life, for health, and for strength. I thank Him for family. Thank Him for my church family and my pastor and the love that is shown to me in my church family and my first lady. But this is a time of celebration of the birth of Christ. And even though, you know, we have those memories, those keepsake memories that we will forever keep in our hearts and in our minds of our loved ones that are no longer with us, but we must remember that God is good and His mercy, it endures forever. And He will give us the strength, the perseverance to keep on going and to keep on pressing and to keep on pushing, to keep on praying, and to keep on praising Him, because praise is what we do. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your testimony this morning. Everyone for sharing their testimony, amen, about Christmas. Amen. And what I've done through the years is learn to slow down a little bit this time of year and just kind of to take it all in, to reflect back on all the family and friends and laugh and experience the joy. And like Sykes said, remember those loved ones who have shared it with us and have gone on. Amen. But we can still share that and enjoy the little ones coming up. Amen. Enjoy out of them. And like Dr. Harris said, you know, love on each other a little bit more. Amen. Feel the warmth that even through the difficult situations that all of us go through, that we know that God gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And even though the record declares that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so that's the best gift, amen, that we can get, amen. And so we need to just continue to encourage and lift each other up. Sing some of them old corny Christmas songs. Sing some of them, amen. Bring a little joy to your heart, amen. Silent night, amen. Holy night, all is calm and all is bright. Somebody ask, get ready to lead us in prayer. Remember all the sick, shut-in, bereaved families. Remember Deacon Bryce, we see you out there, Deacon. Remember all of our family and friends that be traveling and those who might not be able to experience Christmas up there in a war-torn country. Amen. But we pray that God's presence would be there with them, reminding them there's no drummer boy. Amen. And there was a fellow by the name of Michael Jackson. Amen. And he can sing that little song. Amen. No drummer boy. Amen. Y'all remember that? Talking about eating now, amen. But Mike Jack ain't here no more, amen. But there's a little drummer boy song somewhere along the line, amen. And he said, I don't have a gift to bring, amen. But I'm going to play for you on my drum. So when you bring your gift to God, amen, that means that you are appreciative of what he's done in your life. So I ask Minister Harris to come and lead us in prayer.
Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just come and say thank you. Thank you, Father God, for just waking us up this morning, starting us on our way. Thank you, Father God, for your son Jesus. And not only, Father God, did he get up on the cross, Father God, but in 3 days, Father God, Pastor Pat last week, that it was a borrowed tomb because he didn't need it for that long. So we're just grateful for that, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for family. We thank you, Father God, for the ones that we remember in our memories, God. The good Christmas memories, Father God. The ones that have gone on to glory, Father God. So we just ask you for a little bit of strength this holiday season, amen. We ask you, Father God, to lift up a standard, Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, Father God. Search our hearts, O Lord, Father God, whatever you see, Father God, that's not fit, we just ask you to remove it in Jesus' name. We ask you, Father God, that you remain bold, Father God, in the world that needs you. We ask you, Father God, for the strength and the courage, Father God, for a world that where all hell is breaking loose, God. We need some you in this world, Father God. We ask you to bless the teachers, Father God. We ask you to bless, give them the patience, Father God. Give them the peace that surpasses all human understanding, Father God. Understanding that this world is not right. We ask you, Father God, to visit the sick and the shut in, Father God, and just let them know that it's not over until you say it's over, Father God. We just ask you to touch them with your hand of love. Help them, Father God, understand that it's not over, Father God, until you say it's all done, Father God. We thank you for Deacon Bryce, Father God.
Yeah, yeah.
For the perfect example, Father God, that it is not over until you say it's over, Father God. Bless us with the faith like her, Father God. Bless us with the faith with Joe, Father God, that Job said, naked as he came into the world, and naked as he shall be. We ask you, Father God, for not us to be materialistic this holiday season, dear God, but to be able to spread the joy and the good news of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father God, for the heart of God. Just thank you, Father God, for the school times, Father God. Thank you for turning us over and over here, Father God. We thank you, Father God, that when we get a little cold, Father God, we can turn on some heat, God. Thank you, Father God, that when it gets a little hot, Father God, we can turn on a little bit of air, God. So it's hard, God, Father God, we look to you and just say thank you for that, Father God. Thank you, Father God, that we're able to sit down, Father God, and have some push. Thank you, Father God, for the strength and numbers, Father God. We thank you for everybody that's under the sound of my voice, Father God. Just grateful for each and every one of them, Father God. Thank you for the church family, Father God, that loves you and cares about you, Father God. Because in this world, that's what we need, Father God. We got this world, Father God, just so filled with hate, Father God, and so about self and trying to get oneself on top, Father God, but we know that our church family looks out for us, Father God, cares about us, Father God, loves us, Jesus, just like the love of you. So I ask you right now in the name of Jesus, Father God, that I bind up whatever is going on in this circle right now in the name of Jesus. We bring it to your altar, Father God. For we know, Father God, that you're the only one that can do something about it. You're undefeated. You never lost a patient. And so, God, it's not just coming to you with problems, Father God, but just coming to you to give you honor and glory, Father God. For you gave us the victory, Father God. You gave us the power, Father God, to say, move over mountains, Father God. We thank you, Father God, that you are able and willing, Father God. We thank you, Father God, that even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, understanding, Father God, that we can't always walk upon the mountain, Father God, but sometimes we got to get to the valley, Father God, through the shadow of death, Father God, so we shall see the leap, because your rod and your staff protects us, Father God, because you're there.
Yes, you are.
You'll never leave us from the faith. It's a heart of gratefulness, Father God. That, Father God, that it could have been the other way around. But you're so God and so God by yourself, Father God, that even if it was the other way around, Father God, your word says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So we thank you, Father God, for our loved ones that had to go on before us, Father God, because we know where they are. So we just ask you, Father God, that you just give us a little patience while we still making our way. And Father God, when we want to cry and hang our heads, Father God, that we know, Father God, that we will see them again. Bless the ones that lost mothers. Bless the ones that lost fathers. Bless the one that lost sons, and bless the one that lost daughters, Father God. And give them some peace. Because I know that they're hurting here, God. I know that they miss their mom and their dad and their sister and their brother, God. But you said that you will stick closer than the brothers, Father God. And even when your mother turns their back on you, Father God, that you will be there. We thank you for your word, Father God. It is the only true word, Father God. We understand, Father God, all these false prophets that's coming out here, Father God, claiming something that they're not, Father God, but we know the truth. And we thank you, Father God, that we have the direct relationship. That we don't have to go to nobody else, Father God, to get a word to you, Father God. That we can just fall on our knees, God. And just call on your name. Because the word, Father God, the greater love has no man than this. Than the man that has laid down his life for a friend. Thank you for calling me your friend nearly 2,000 years ago. Thank you, Father God, for saving me from myself, Father God. Thank you for keeping me when I didn't want to be kept, God. Thank you, Father God, that when the money got funny, Father God, that somehow the bill still got paid, God. That when the money got funny, Father God, the food was still on the table, God. It might not have been McDonald's or what we wanted, Father God, but when we got done eating, Father God, that the pain of the hunger was gone. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah to your name, Father God. That you're able, Father God. And the three Hebrew boys within the fire. You blessed them in the midst of their trials. See, we got to understand that sometimes God got to bless us in the midst of our mess. But we got to have some mess that we deem impossible. Because when they looked in the furnace, they said, how many are you doing that?
you, Father God, for the people who've done us wrong, Father God. Thank you, Father God, for the people who counted us out, Father God, because they were just writing the story, Father God. We thank you, Father God, because we already win at the end of the day, Father God, that when you stepped up out that. Thank you, Father God, for getting up out that tomb, Father God, that you went to hell, Father God, and took back the key. So I ain't got to be scared, Father God. I can look the enemy in your face and let him know that you're defeated. That you're defeated. That you have no power. You have no control. You have no dominion over what's going on. Oh, God, people.
Thank you, God. I've been able to talk to you, Father God. Because just a little time with you, Father God, I know for myself that I'll make everything all right.
Protect us, Lord God. We ask you, Father God, to increase the path so that you may increase. We're looking for a word, Father God. We're hungry, God. We're hungry, God. Thank you, because there's power in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Oh, Father God, we just ask, Father God, that we know that you're already going through it, God. So we're just praising you in advance today, God. We know that the relationship is about to be restored, God. We know that that financial breakthrough is about to happen for us, God. We, whatever that we've been praying for, Father God, we know that it's going to happen. In Jesus' name, we say, amen. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God.
Father, oh yeah, and a Father too. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The fact that you made a way. Hebrew boys, the Shadrach and the Meshach and the Abednego.
and they were brutalized and taken from their country, amen, and put to work in a foreign land, and they were put before false gods, and they said that if there was music and a ceremony, that King Nebuchadnezzar was to be bowed down before and to worship King Nebuchadnezzar. But Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego had history with God. And they knew that God was in control, and they knew that God would show up, and they knew that God would show out. And in the midst of them going through the fiery furnace, they told the king that our God is able, amen, and even if he doesn't deliver us, amen, we know, amen, he's able to deliver after this kind of thing. And it came to a point, amen, that God was still in control, and God showed up and God showed out. And as they went into the fiery furnace, amen, God himself, the Son of God, appeared and showed up and showed out, so much so that the flames and the smoke did not affect him. The record declared when they came out that their clothes weren't burnt, that it didn't even smell like smoke, and that God was able and God performed and God showed up and God showed out, because God was and is in control. So Mary, virgin that was going to conceive, had some folk that would look sideways at her and would talk about her. Y'all ever had someone look sideways at you and talk about you? I remember the first lady when we began to follow God about 20 years ago, about Heart of God Church. Y'all gonna hear me this morning. Amen. There were some that said that they was just crazy to be able to leave, amen, a place of cushion and comfort, amen, and go to a place, amen, that had not been established. Have I got a witness? But I'm reminded of Abraham, amen, when God told him to go to a place that I'll show you, amen, and I'll multiply your seed like the sea on the sand, the sand next to the sea, amen. And I believe it was Abraham, well up in age, amen, that God, amen, blessed him to be able to have Isaac, amen. And Isaac was able to have Jacob, amen. And the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob formed the 12 tribes of Israel, amen. And God blessed Israel, amen, to be able to prosper even in the midst of the Canaanites and the Amorites and the Gibeonites and the Jerseyites and all those ites, amen, that wanted to take them and destroy them, amen. But because they were God's people, they were able to survive because they knew that God was still in control, that God was going to show up. And not only was God going to show up, but God was going to show out in their situation. And so God sent prophets to minister to Israel to let them know when they were doing right and when they were doing bad, amen. And he got to a point where he ministered through the prophet, amen, Elijah, amen. And as he ministered to Elijah, Elijah had the uncomfortable ministry presence, amen, to be able to minister to them in the midst of a famine, in the midst of a drought, in the midst of 7 years of it not being raining, amen. He was one who was up against a rough time, amen. Sort of like Mary's baby, Mary, when she was given a conception of the Holy Ghost, amen. She had a rough time because how can this virgin woman be pregnant? How can this virgin woman, amen, be telling people that I got pregnant because of the Son of God said that the Holy Spirit was going to come upon me and I'm going to be with child? And she had to go through the scrutiny. Her husband had to go through the scrutiny, amen,
And when you go through scrutiny, this kind of scrutiny where it seems like it's impossible, you need to turn, and we need to turn to the Word of God and see other people that have gone through this kind of scrutiny, this kind of impossibility, but yet, amen, they trusted that God was still in control and that God would show up in the midst of their circumstance and that God would show out and that ultimately God would get the glory, amen, for your obedience to him.
So I just want to look quickly at the book of 1 Kings, amen, the book of 1 Kings. And we want to see how Elijah, amen, trusted that God was going to be in control, that God was going to show up, and that God was going to show out. So as we look at this in the book of Elijah, the book of 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, and we want to look at verse 16, 1 Kings, 18th chapter. So we want to look at verse 18. And it is something to see that God would show that he's in control, that God would show that he'll show up, and that God would show that he would show out. Amen. And I don't know about you, amen, but there's been times in my life, Lord have mercy, God let me know he was in control, that God let me know that he'll show up, and that God would let me know that he will show out in the midst of my situation. Amen? And so here, the background is Elijah had faced so many of the prophets of God have been killed. You know the story of Jezebel. Jezebel cut all the prophets, killed all of the prophets, and Elijah was the only one left. But even though he was the only one, amen, he still, amen, was obedient to God. Have I got a witness? And no matter what God, amen, said, amen, Elijah would do, amen? And I don't know about you, but Elijah relied on the Spirit of the Lord to carry him and take him where he needed to go. Amen? And when you, my brothers and sisters, rely on the Spirit of God to carry you and lead you and take you where you need to go, amen, then you can depend on God that no matter what the situation or the circumstance is, that God would bring you through it. What I'm talking about with Mary. Can you imagine the Mary, amen, without the Spirit of God being in her, the Spirit of God being upon her, to have to deal with all these crazy men and crazy women that said, how in the world can you be pregnant if you haven't seen a man? Lord have mercy. All of the stigma, amen, that was involved with her, the virgin birth of Christ, all of the stigma that she would say that she would be carrying the Christ of God, the promised Messiah, if you will, amen. How that she would have to deal with that. She was the only one, amen, that came upon this earth that ever became pregnant by the Holy Spirit, amen. And a lot of times we are in situations and circumstances in our lives where it seems impossible, but because of the Holy Spirit and our relationship with God, we can stand and say, God is still in control, and God will show up on time, and that God will bless me, and he will show up and show out in my situation, and my time, amen, of being proven, amen, is in hand with God. So Elijah was the only one, amen, that was left. So we pick up in verse 16. It says, and Elijah, so we'll go up to verse 15. And Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts liveth before whom I stand, I will surely show him myself for him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, Ahab went to meet Elijah. A lot of times, my brothers and sisters, there'll be folks that don't want to see you be successful. Have we got a witness? They got folks, amen, that don't want to see you prosper. They got folks that keep it real, want to see you fail. Have I got a witness? They got folks that tell you, heart of God, that you're not going to make it. Have I got a witness? But I'm a living witness today, amen. God is still what? In control. Have I got a witness? Not only is God still in control, but God will show up in the midst, what? Of your situation. Not only will God show up in the midst of your situation, but God will show up, what? And show out. You say, well, what do you mean, brother preacher? God is going to show up and show out. What I mean is that when God shows up and shows out, that God's going to show you, amen, that nobody can do the thing that he can do. In other words, he's going to show up in a situation, amen, and let you know, amen, that nobody did this thing but God, amen. He's going to let you know about a shadow of a doubt that it couldn't have been done any other kind of way. Have I got a witness? That it couldn't have been done because man couldn't do it. And if man can't do it, amen, that's the opportunity for God to show up and show out in your situation. So, Lord have mercy, move this microphone a little bit further. Someone called and let us know, amen, that the mic was a little too hot, amen, on last Sunday. But we thank God, amen. And then we got a mic. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God, amen, for the corrective criticism. Amen. It's good to be able to have someone be concerned, amen, that the message is loud. But not only is it loud, Dr. Lindsay, but it's clear. Have I got a witness? So we'll keep the mic, amen, at bay. Amen? So when we look at what Elijah was up against, he was up against some folk, amen, that claimed to be godly, but weren't godly. Amen? And my brothers and sisters, you and I will come against people that claim to be godly, but ain't godly. They call themselves ministers. They call themselves prophets. They call themselves apostles. They call themselves brothers. They call themselves sisters. They call themselves children of God. But the whole time, their motive is not about God, but it's about them. Their modus operandi, if you will, amen, is to get everything they can for themselves at any cost, even you. And so in verse 18, he says, and he answered, I have not, and the guy says in verse 17, he says, the learned that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? In other words, you ain't nothing but a troublemaker. Why are you coming here? You're nothing but a troublemaker. You're upsetting the apple cart. You're messing up our good thing. You're rocking the boat, if you will. You're nothing but a troublemaker. And Isaiah stood up and he told him, he said in verse 13, 18, and he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, then ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast follow Balaam. In other words, he said, I'm not the troublemaker. Y'all the ones that are troublemaker. Y'all the ones that have forgotten about God, forsaken his law, and y'all are the ones, amen, that are following the devil. Yeah. Lord have mercy. When you stand up and say that, goodness gracious. When you stand up and you tell folk, amen, that they are not following God, but they're following the devil, they get mad. Lord have mercy. And they begin to start plotting and scheming how they're going to see to your demise, amen. And so in verse 19, he says, now therefore sin. You got a word from the Lord. He says, I'm going to tell you what thus said the Lord, amen. He says, therefore sin and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel. Look at somebody that's going to Mount Carmel. See, on Mount Carmel, that's like those big boxing exposition venues, amen, Dr. Lindsay. I remember when Joe Frazier and Muhammad Ali, amen, they went to the Thriller in Manila, Lord have mercy. When they would go and they would fight it out to the end, amen. And see, on Mount Carmel, God would show up and show out, amen, against all of the prophets of Baal. The devil, the Satan worshipers, amen,
up on Mount Carmel. This was the thriller in Manila, but we call it, this is the thriller at Mount Carmel, amen. Up on Mount Carmel, when God was going to show up, and God was going to show up, that Elijah would be proven right, amen, and all the rest of them would be proven wrong. There's going to come a time in your life where you're going to have a thriller in Manila. You're going to have to go up on Mount Carmel. You're going to have to stand all by yourself. You're going to have to be like Mary, the mother of Jesus. You're going to have to be like Abraham. You're going to have to be like Isaac. You're going to have to be like the three Hebrew boys. You're going to have your Mount Carmel experience so people will know that your God is God, and beside him there is none. So I just said, let's go up to Mount Carmel. Look at somebody say, let's go to Mount Carmel. You don't believe God? Let's go to Mount Carmel. You don't believe me? Let's go to Mount Carmel. Let the Lord handle this thing. Look at somebody, let the Lord handle this thing. Amen? We going to see who going to be, amen, God. Because I know myself, amen, that God is still in control, and that God will show up when he said he's going to show up, and that God will show out the way only he can show out. And so he said, let's go to Mount Carmel. And all the prophets of Baal, 450 of them, Dr. Harris, 450 prophets against one, Lord have mercy. Look at somebody say, that's not bad odds with God, though. Lord have mercy. He owned the cattle on what? 1,000 hills. Amen. Everything belonged to him. Amen. So 450 against one. Look at somebody say, 450 against one. They said that you don't even stand a chance. Amen. But we still going to what? Mount Carmel. Amen. Heart of God, they say you couldn't make it 20 years. Come on now. But 20 years later, good God Almighty. Amen. Let's go to Mount Carmel. Amen. Let's see what God's going to do. You have your way of taking care of things. You have your way of doing things. But we're going to stand with the Lord Almighty God. We're going to stand with the one that's in control. We're going to stand with the one that's going to do exactly what he said he's going to do. 450 to 1. And the prophet rose 400. Which eat at Jezebel's table. In other words, they was showing up goon squad, Lord have mercy. They was pimping, amen, God and everything around them, amen. They was eating good and everybody else was just getting by. Have I got a witness? Ain't nothing changed. Same thing today, amen. But I'm here to tell you, amen, God is still in control. And sooner or later, Jezebel and all these 450 prophets, amen, false prophets, are going to realize that God shows up on time and God shows out on time. So look at verse 20. He says, so Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together under Mount Carmel. In other words, he was in a situation where he said, we got numbers on our side. Look at somebody say, God ain't worried about no numbers. Lord have mercy. Well, we got Jezebel on our side. Don't think God ain't worried about Jezebel. But Jezebel flew all the promises. Tell them that's all right. God still got somebody. Amen. God still has somebody to be able to show and to prove, amen, that he's still in control, that he'll still show up, and he'll still show up. So all these prophets of Jezebel, they showed up, and in verse 21, it says, and Elijah came unto the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? In other words, they said, you can't have it both ways. There needs to come a time, amen, where you either going to serve God or you going to serve the devil. Elijah was meddling that time. When I stand here and say I'm meddling, amen, I'm not talking about, amen, getting personal with you, but I'm talking about, amen, allowing you to make a choice, amen, whether you're going to do it God's way or you're going to do it the devil's way. In other words, there ain't but one way, amen, and that's God's way. But he asked them, amen, how long you going to stand there? How long you going to try to catch up
the truth of it, trying to do it one way and another way. How long are you going to offer two opinions? How long are you going to dance on this side of the club, amen, on Saturday night, and then pop on this time, amen, and worship God on Sunday morning? How long are you going to try to have it both ways? You say, I love the Lord and act like the devil. Elijah, he told the people, how long are you going to halt between two opinions? He said, if the Lord be God, follow him, Lord have him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. See, that's what the problem is, Dr. Lindsay. Amen. And ain't nobody standing up for God. Ain't nobody got an opinion. They won't seem like they can do it both ways. So if I'm in the club, amen, I'm all right. If I'm in the church, I'm all right. If I'm cussing you out, I'm all right. If I'm not cussing you out, all right. If I'm fooling around, I'm all right. If I'm not fooling around, all right. God, I'd rather be cold. Amen. Don't want you to be lukewarm. Be cold or hot. Amen. He said, lukewarm will get spit out your mouth. So he says to him, y'all will have it both ways. But you can't have it both ways. So Elijah said, I know what we'll do. In verse 22, he says, then said Elijah unto the people, I alone remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450. In other words, Elijah said, well, you might have the numbers, Lord have mercy. It looks like, in man's opinion, you might have the advantage. But as long as I got the Lord on my side, I got more than enough. Have I got a witness today? As long as God is in my corner. Has anybody ever seen God show up and show up on your behalf? As long as I got God on my side, I got more what than enough. As long as God is in my corner, I got more what than enough. As long as God is going to fight my battle, I got what more than enough. As long as I got God, amen, who is still in control, I got more than enough. As long as I got God that will show up and show out, I got more than enough. So we're going to see, well, I see what Shadrach and Meshach went through. I want to see what Baal is going to do against Elijah. We're going to see what kind of miracle Elijah is going to let us in on. So if you go down to verse 23, it says, let them therefore give us two books. Let them choose one book for themselves and cut it in pieces and lay it on wood and put no fire under it. And I will dress the other book and lay it on wood and put no fire under it. In other words, we're going to make sure this thing is even Stephen. Amen. In other words, you got your bullock with no fire. I got my bullock with no fire. Amen. We're going to see, amen, what's going to happen to the bullock. Amen. And so in verse 24, he says, and call ye on the name of your God, little g, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answers by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. In other words, we got confidence in our God. They got confidence in their God. And you see when they get in the ring, they're bouncing around, they're looking at each other, hey, man. They got the gloves checked, they got the face checked, they got the belt checked, and they up on Mount Carmel, hey, amen. They boxing the air, hey, amen. They dancing around, hey, amen. They on their toes, hey, amen. Everybody's cheering them on, amen. Except there's a whole bunch of folk, amen, cheering on Baal and his prophet, and ain't but nobody but God cheering on, amen, Elijah. And a lot of times you'll find yourself in that situation where it seems like you're all by yourself, where everybody else is battling against you, everybody else is striving against you, everyone else is thinking that you're not going to make it, everybody else is talking about you, but you got God on your side, and you know that God is still in control, and you know that God's going to show up on time, and you know that God, amen, is going to show up. So as they're bouncing around and the bell goes ding, look what happens. So in verse 25, and Elijah said unto prophet Baal, choose you one bullock for yourself and dress it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your God, but put no fire. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and they called on the name of Baal. From how long? From morning until noon, saying, oh, Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made, and it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them. In other words, Elijah started laughing at them. Lord have mercy. You've seen some of them fights with a guy can't stop the jab. Lord have mercy. Ali was so bad he could flick the jab out and tell the ref to stop before he gets beat up too bad. And he just flipped it out. You can't stop it. He could see the jab coming, but he couldn't get out of the way. And so he started mocking him with the bolo punch and everything else, making him look like a fool because he couldn't get out of the way. This is the way God's prophet was doing, amen, taunting the enemy that you can't control God because God is in control. And as much as you try, it's not going to work because God's going to show up and show out on my behalf because he's God and nobody else is God that's behind him. And so these 450 prophets and false prophets and all these people of Israel waiting for him to be the man, waiting for Baal to show up and burn up the burnt offering. They were still waiting from the morning to the evening. And so Elijah began to talk to them and say, where is your God? Look what he said. Verse 27, and it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them. They cry aloud. He is God, right? Either he's talking, or he's pursuing, or is he in the journey, or peradventure? He sleeps. There must be a way. And so Elijah is teasing them. They got mad, and he cried aloud and cut themselves after they manner of knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. In other words, they were trying to get their God to show up and burn up the burnt offering. Verse 29, it says, and it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering, the covering of sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regard. In other words, their way didn't work. Their God didn't show up. Their method didn't prosper. Their prophecy didn't come true because they were serving, amen, a foolish, non-living God. And my brothers and sisters, this is the thing that the children of God, the people who have trusted in God, realize, that you might have to wait for a little while. You might have to wait for a period of time. You might have to struggle for a little while. But sooner or later, the one that has all of the power, the one that has all of the strength, the one that's still in control, amen, will show up and show out on your behalf. Let's look at this in verse 30. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, whom the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar as great as it would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood under it and cut the bullock into pieces and laid it on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it a second time. And they did it a second time. And he said, do it a third time. And they did it a third time. In other words, he wanted the sacrifice in the wood to be drenching wet with water so nobody could say it was a spark that started the fire. He wanted to be a thing where it would be no question that the one that burnt this offering was God, and it was God all by himself. So in verse 35, he says, and the water ran about the altar, and he filled the trench also with oil. It came to pass at the time of the offering that even the sacrifice of Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things as thy word. In verse 37, he says, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. In verse 38, Dr. Lindsay says, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stone and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is the God. He is the Lord. He is the God. Brothers and sisters, whatever you're going through, I want you to remember, it might take a little while, but eventually, God is going to let you know he's still in control. God's going to let you know that he's going to show up, and God's going to let you know that he'll show out. I say this to say that Mary, the mother of Jesus, when the angel of the Lord came and told her that she had found favor with God, had a whole lot of folk to turn to that she knew in the word of God, that stood on the promises of God in spite of the situation or the circumstance, and realized that even in the most impossible situation, that God will show up and God will show out. I've never been with a child in my life, Lord have mercy. But I've seen my wife with a child, Lord have mercy. And she said it would start with some little fluttering. Have I got a witness? And turn into a little bit of movement, Lord have mercy. Sooner or later, after about the first trimester, have I got a witness? Amen. You'll begin to realize, amen, that this isn't something, amen, that we're just joking about. But it's a real thing. Have I got a witness? Something that God can do, that nobody else can do. Amen. And around about the second trimester, amen, you can start seeing little things move around on the inside. Have I got a witness? Around about the third trimester, you can start seeing arms and elbows. Have I got a witness? Amen. My children would be in the bed with me and my wife kicking me while they were in her. Have I got a witness? And I don't know about you, amen, but I'm glad today, amen, that God has a way of taking care of the baby in a utero, amen, through the umbilical cord, that the kids can be in water, amen, and still get oxygen from the mother. They don't have to inhale or exhale, but God, it will give them the energy to be able to get nutrition, to be able to get air, to be able to get sustenance, even while they're inside of the mother. Have I got a witness? And I can only see Mary, Jesus' mother, amen, talking about, I ain't been with my husband, amen, but I know I'm pregnant, and all y'all acting crazy and fool, amen, but aren't you glad today, amen, that God stayed with her, that he spoke to her husband and told her, amen, that thing inside of her is a holy thing, and you hold on, amen, until the time comes that I'll let you, amen, be able to get with your wife. Have I got a witness today? God is able to stay in control and keep everybody else at bay and keep everybody turned away until he shows up and he shows out. Yeah. 9 months later, have I got a witness? Somebody said away in a manger. No room for a baby. Little Lord Jesus, come on now. They sleep what? In the bed. Amen. I'm here to tell you, my brothers and sisters, God showed up and God has been showing out ever since in all of our lives. The best gifts, the gift that keeps on giving, came through such trial, came through such turmoil, came through such odds. Amen. That that he had to prove that it was nothing but God that could do it. Just like Elijah on Mount Carmel, when he licked up all the water, when he licked up all the stones, when he licked up all the dust, nobody could say anything but that's God. And when God's gift came to you and changed you, Mary's baby said, I love you so much. If you believe in me, you won't have to perish, but have everlasting life. And that moment you believe, Lord have mercy, your life has never been the same. The moment God let you know that he was in control, the moment God showed up, the moment God let you know that he would show out and forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness, you have been changed and never been the same ever since. Because God specializes in those things that men call the apostles. So I can go along, I can go 10, 15, 20 people and demonstrate all of these things that God has done in their lives to let you know there was nobody but God. Look at my big grown children now. Lord have mercy. How in the world, Lord have mercy, did God do that? I can't explain it. Amen. And then they got seed coming up, Lord have mercy. And they big and grown. Amen? But it's because of the things that God said who he is, I am that I am, that only he can do these things that men say can't be done. So people will say, well, what are you talking about? There's a virgin birth, there's Jesus, and there's the Holy Spirit, and there's a God the Father. I don't believe that. Well, I would submit to you today, like Elijah submitted to them back then. How long will you halt between two opinions? So on the 25th of December, are you going to celebrate Santa Claus? Or are you going to celebrate Jesus? My opinion, Santa Claus and hijacked Christmas. But even if he's hijacked, God is still what? In control.
He is.
And believe it or not, if it's everlasting before it's everlasting too late, Santa Claus can still be saved. All they got to do is call on the name of Jesus. If Santa saved today, Santa got to make a choice. Santa got to choose today who he going to serve. Is it going to be Rudolph? Is it going to be the elves or Mrs. Claus? But God is still controlled. I say this not to be funny, but to say it is that whosoever it is can be saved because of what Jesus has done. Amen? So don't give up on God, because he can save the most violent sinner. He can save the most violent miscall. He can save the most violent little elf. Right. Amen? Because of what Jesus did. So choose you this day who you're going to serve. The doors of the church are open. There might be someone. Well, Pat, talking about a whole lot of folks that trusted God, and God showed up and provided miracles in your life. But I want to tell you, the miracle that I saw, many of you heard me tell this story. We were small apartment in Southeast D.C. There was a firearm in the house. Stuck the fire alarm with a toy gun. My uncle had heard a disturbance. Got the gun hours before. Me and my sister were over there. My son was thinking the gun was a toy gun, but the gun to my
blank range. Pull the trigger. Next time you see her, see the mark. Bullet went through her head. Sunday morning. Right past her shoes. Dripping down. But she never lost consciousness. Big Mama was there. Had a Sunday dress on, big apron. Jumped in the action. Called emergency. That she was holding the blood in her hand. My sister was looking at me, I'm looking at her. Big Mama began to pray. That's over 61 years ago. Said she wasn't gonna make it. Ain't nobody got shot through the head. Point blank range in that heat. And even if she did think it, she was gonna be a vegetable. Wouldn't be able to have a family. Wouldn't be able to drive. Wouldn't be able to have a job. Wouldn't be able to talk. Y'all seen her? Talk to her this week. Last time I counted, she had 3 kids. Master's degree. Able to drive. And Lord have mercy, can talk and run her mouth. But God showed up. God was in control. And God showed up. I don't know about you, amen. If you ever seen someone shout point blank through their hands with blood running down both sides of their hands. And the only thing they can do is call on the name of the Lord. And God showed up. Say, Pastor, why are you beat so hard? Why are you beat so hard? Why are you so crazy about God? Because I've seen what he said. I'm not telling you about what I heard. When the blood came running down, when the shot rang out, and I looked at her and Jesus' face. And she's still alive today, having kids, having the job, having the ability to worship and praise God, can drive and do everything that anybody else can do. So you choose. You choose. I can't make the choice. My mind is made up. You gotta make the choice. Choice is that man.
Now. Together.